Мы там стихе говорили с нами. О мой Господь, тот, кто повторяет святое имя Твое, даже будь он из низкой семьи чадов, неприкасаемого, находится на высшем уровне самосознания.
Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices, according to Vedic rituals, and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his bath in all the places of pilgrimage.
Должно быть, в прошлом такой человек подвергал себя всевозможным видам тапаси, приносил разнообразные жертвы согласно ведическим обрядам, совершил омовение во всех местах паломничества и досконально изучил ведическую литературу.
Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family.
Такой человек считается лучшим среди арьянов.
So one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense or education.
Таким образом, следует быть достаточно разумным и понять истинное назначение Вед, а не слепо следовать обрядам, желая вознестись на райские планеты, дабы изведать высшие чувственные наслаждения.
It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals, nor is it possible to study all of the Vedanta and the Upanishads thoroughly.
Обыкновенный человек в наше время не в состоянии следовать всем предписаниям и правилам ведических обрядов, как не может он досконально изучить все Веданты и Упанишады.
It requires much time, energy, knowledge and resources to execute the purposes of a Vedic.
Осуществление предписаний веды требует много времени, энергии, знания и средств.
This is hardly possible.
Это вряд ли возможно в наше время.
The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls.
Тем не менее, высшие цели ведической культуры можно достичь, просто повторяя святое имя Господа, как учил Господь Чайтанья, спаситель всех падших душ.
When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar, Prakasananda Saraswati, why he, the Lord, was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist, instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that the spiritual master had found him to be a great fool, and thus asked him to chant the holy name of the Lord Krishna.
Когда великий знаток ведической литературы Пракашинанда Сарасвати спросил Господа Чайтанью, почему он воспевает святое имя Господа, как какой-то сентименталист, вместо того, чтобы изучать философию Веданты, Господь ответил, что его духовный учитель считал его великим глупцом, и потому велел ему просто воспевать святое имя Господа Кришны. Он последовал этому указанию и впал в экстаз, подобно безумцу.
In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of Buddha.
Кали-югу, большинство людей глупы и не имеют достаточного образования, чтобы понять философию Веданты. Высшая цель философии Веданты может быть достигнута смиренным повторением святого имени Господа.
Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna, and the highest Vedantist.
Веданта есть последнее слово ведической мудрости, а автором и знатоком ее является Господь Кришна. Совершенный ведантист – это великая душа, наслаждающаяся воспеванием святого имени Господа. В этом состоит высшая цель всей философии веды.
Vulkan karoti vachalam, pangunam gayate garinya kripatama hamande shivanam sarvam. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is explaining to Arjuna how all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows the purpose behind them.
Как все цели, стоящие за изучением веды, выполняются тем, кто понимает эти цели.
And he gives an example.
И он приводит пример.
It's just like if you have some small well.
Говорят, что если у вас есть небольшой водоем,
it can serve a certain amount of purposes.
Он может служить определенным целям.
You may have many wells at your disposal.
У вас может быть несколько водоемов под рукой.
One well can be, maybe can be used for cleaning laundry. Another may be used for drinking.
So all the, whatever purpose is served by your small well can certainly be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows what is the actual purpose of the Vedas. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that I am the goal of all Vedic wisdom. Vedaishta sayarvaya aham eva veda, vedantikrit vedavid eva chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. And the Vedas are a very vast body of knowledge. And there are different sections of the Vedas. And it's described that the Vedas are like an all wish-fulfilling desire tree. That whatever status of life one is in, he can take some direction from the Vedas so that he may gradually elevate himself to come to the full understanding of who is God. That is the goal of all Vedic knowledge. But in the course of following these Vedic rituals, that these rituals that are one can become easily entangled if one does not actually know the goal of these rituals. For instance, in this chapter, Lord Krishna warns Arjuna. He says, men of small knowledge, they are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend elevation to the heavenly planets, result in good birth, power, wealth, opulence, and so forth. Being attached to sense gratification and opulent life, they think that there's nothing more than this. In other words, persons who are attached to sense gratification can follow the rituals in the Vedas, because there are many, many rituals that one can follow. And by executing these rituals, they can get the fulfillment of their desires without the reactions that come by pursuing such desires. However, even though one does not suffer the reactions, it is understood that whatever results one gets by following such rituals, they're temporary. They're not the actual goal of the Vedas. They just enable persons to fulfill their desires in such a way that they don't become implicated. By having to accept a sinful reaction. But after the results of their rituals are exhausted, for instance, after one attains to the heavenly planets, and the results of his pious activities are exhausted, he must come back down again. Lord Krishna explains, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punavitina Mamujina Mamupecha Tukantaya Puna Janma Nivijite. From the highest planet in this universe to the lowest planet, all the places of misery, because we're in repeated birth and death takes place.
Все они являются местом страданий, которое происходит под время рождения и смерти.
But one who attains to my abode,
но тот, кто достигает моей обители,
he never has to take his birth again.
Ему не придется вновь принимать рождение.
So anywhere one goes, anywhere within this material universe is temporary.
И куда бы ни направились в этой материальной вселенной, вы встретите только время.
So Krishna warns Arjuna.
И Кришна предостерегает Арджуну.
Be careful of the flowery words of the Vedas. Just like the poisonous flowers of a tree may appear to be very attractive. But although externally they appear to be attractive, they are nonetheless still very poisonous. Or as Narottam Das Thakur also describes, karma kanda, jnana kanda, kevala vishera bhanda, that karma kanda and jnana kanda, they are like stalks of poison. Supply. A supply of poison. Pots. Because they are temporary. So, it is described here that the Vedas, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served by one who knows the purpose behind them. So, one who knows the purpose behind the Vedas knows that the goal of all of these rituals is to develop love for God. That is the goal behind any religious activity. And if our religious activities do not bring us to that platform of love of God, if we never come to that platform, ultimately it's a waste of time. Because it's all temporary. In fact, there is one verse in the Srimad
Bhagavatam
which explains that anyone whose religious activities, excuse me, anyone whose work does not bring one to the platform of religious activities, and anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not bring one to the platform of renunciation,
и каждый, чьи занятия религиозными отправлениями приводят его к необходимости благотворительности.
And anyone who is situated in renunciation,
и каждый, кто находится в состоянии причины,
that does not lead to devotion to God,
и не приходит к пониманию необходимости верности Господа,
he must be considered dead, although he is breathing.
Такой человек должен считаться мертвым, хотя он дышит.
It's a very strong verse. But the emphasis is placed on the ultimate goal of all religious performances. Because one must understand what is the goal of religion. One should not think that religious ritualistic performances are simply a means to fulfilling my own desires. That is not the goal of religion. One must understand the ultimate goal. Although there may be many byproducts by religious activities, it is not the goal. Therefore, when we speak about religion, Krishna specifically speaks about the platform of Sanatana Dhamma. The eternal activity of the living being. The word Dhamma is the Sanskrit word whose closest equivalent is the word religion. But actually it is not sufficient word. To describe Dharma. And Dharma actually means that which sustains one's existence. And Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, would give the example. That the Dharma of water is liquidity. Or the Dharma of fire is heat and light. One cannot recognize fire if it does not display these two qualities. For they are the most, two of the most important ingredients or qualities of the fire that make it recognizable as being fire. So the Dharma of the living being is to serve. It is the constitutional position of every living being to serve. But presently in our conditioned state, we are looking at many objects of service. We are servants to friends, family, and society. And in this way, we are fulfilled in so many obligations of service. Because this is a partial reflection of the natural inclination for every living being to serve. The living being cannot exist without this service. Just as the fire could not exist without manifesting heat and light. Or just as water could not exist without manifesting this quality of liquidity. So therefore, every living being is serving because it is his constitutional nature. And that cannot be taken away. The word Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana means eternal. Sanatana Dharma means the eternal activity of rendering service. That is our constitutional nature. But presently, in embodied life, the objects of our service cannot fulfill this eternal propensity. We have a natural desire to serve somebody. It's there, within the heart. Therefore, in this material world, having feelings of incompleteness, we look for objects to serve, thinking that it will help us to feel more complete. This is because the living entity by nature is not self-sufficient. He cannot be fully satisfied himself. Because his constitutional nature is to serve. So he must serve somebody. So he looks for many different objects to serve. And looks for those persons who he can share his natural love. In an attempt to try to satisfy them. And as well to complete one's own needs for self-satisfaction. The difficulty is this Sanatana Dhamma. Or the capacity to render service eternally. Or the capacity to render service eternally. Cannot be fulfilled when we make the object of our service something that is temporary. This is why this world is filled with so much frustration. And this is why the living entity feels the satisfaction of the self. And because to serve the bodily relationships is only a temporary object of service.
является всего лишь временным объектом служения.
To serve the society.
Служение обществу.
It's a temporary object of, the service, of service.
Также временное
служение. We may be living in human society today.
Может быть, мы сегодня живем в человеческом обществе.
But we may be in animal society next life. Or we may be in demigod society in the heavenly planets. The society that we're surrounding ourselves in right now is temporary. Or just as the example is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of little clusters of straw that come together in the river. Sometimes little pieces of straw will gather along the banks of the river. But the continuous flow of the river will break them up and will carry them further downstream. And each individual straw continues his journey. But eventually they'll get caught again. In a little whirlpool along the banks of the river. And they come together in a different cluster. So each time they get caught in a cluster of straws, they identify with each member of their cluster. But it's temporary. They only come together for a brief period of time. Because eventually the ongoing flow of the river will break them up again and send them further downstream. So which society are we a servant of? Right now we're a servant in a society of people that share the same designation as we do. They live in the same geographical location. Or they share the same cultural values. But this society is temporary. The living being is eternal. And his existence will go beyond his relationship with the society. Sanatana Dharma means to understand one's relationship with the Supreme. And this type of a relationship of service is different than relationship to society and friends and family. And when one establishes this relationship with the Supreme, it helps one also to understand his relationship to society, friends and family. Because it does not mean that we cannot serve society, friends and family. Certainly we must serve. But what is that service? What is the quality of that service? Do we serve society to fulfill its temporary needs? This can't satisfy the self. Neither the person who is rendering the service nor the person who is being served can be satisfied. Because to satisfy the self can only be achieved when one understands his eternal relationship with God. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there was an assembly of great sages. And they were inquiring from their learned speaker, Sutta Goswami. And one of the questions that was asked is, what is the ultimate occupational activity for humanity?
Состояло в том, что что же является высшей
What is the ultimate occupational activity for all of humanity? In other words, everyone is engaged in some occupational duty. As a servant to society. But the sages of Naimasharanya, they were concerned about a higher, what is the highest service. Therefore they asked this question. And Siddha Goswami responded, Savai Pung Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hoksaje Ahaitika Patiyata Yatma Supersedity. That the supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which one can attain to loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service must be completely freed from motivation and must be uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. In other words, one must render service to God not to simply fulfill his own material needs, but actually the genuine expression of love can only be fulfilled when there are no conditions for the service. As soon as we establish conditions, it is not love. It is business. We should not do business with God. We should not say that I will serve you only if you fulfill my needs. That is not a servant. In fact, love is described so that to be able to repose all of one's affection upon one object exclusively. Without any diversion whatsoever. Where is that object of affection that we can repose all of our love towards? Who can continuously give us the impetus to continue to serve without any desire for something in return? We don't find that in human society. Because the tendency is there that I will serve only if I get my needs fulfilled. I'll serve society, but I have certain needs and I must get them. I'll serve family, but I have certain desires that I need to have fulfilled. Our spiritual master used to say that the closest thing to love in this world is the love the mother has for the child. Because even though the child may do so many things, the mother will always maintain affection for the child. That is the closest to love in this world. But the love that is described in this discussion with Sutta Goswami and the sages of Naimasharanya he is describing that such service must be rendered without any motivation. And without any interruption in order to satisfy the self. That is how the self can become satisfied. We may try to satisfy friends, family and society simply by serving their material needs. But according to this definition of self-satisfaction, we won't be successful. They can't be satisfied in that way. And if they're not satisfied, How can we be satisfied? When our inclination is to satisfy somebody else. It doesn't work. We try so hard to satisfy them. We give them some presents. We try to share our love. We try to satisfy their needs. But still there's something lacking in the relationship. That there's no full satisfaction. And therefore we are lacking. Because we naturally are looking to be satisfied by serving someone else. It's all incomplete. Because the root of all service is missing. If one understands the root, then one can satisfy all the leaves and the branches simultaneously. But as long as we try to serve friends, family and society, independent from the root, there will be no satisfaction. Therefore, Sanatana Dharma means to know who is the root of all existence. And how to render service to this root. It means simply to know who is God. Any religious system which teaches love of God, teaches us who is God, what is our relationship with Him, and how do we act according to that relationship. That is the goal of religion. The goal is to develop love. And love means to exclusively serve without conditions. Therefore, sometimes people will take to the religious path. They will perform some rituals to fulfill their material needs. And when the material needs are fulfilled, they thank God. And then the relationship is finished. Such persons do not understand the goal of religion. One should not establish temporary connections with God simply to get one's bread. This is not the goal of religion. Simply to make some contemporary connection to fulfill our material needs. This is not love. Again, this is the same business relationship. So therefore, when we talk about Sanatana Dhamma, we're talking about the eternal activity, not some temporary connection that I will serve as long as I get my needs fulfilled. And when the needs fulfilled, the inclination or impetus to serve no longer remains. But sometimes people will approach God in distress, looking for relief of their distress. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, it describes that four types of people will approach the Supreme Lord. Those who are distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise. One who is wise, Krishna says, is very rare. Bahunam janmanante gyanavamam prapajante Vasudeva Saramiti Sa Mahatma Sudhulava. After many, many births, one who is actually, one who knows the cause of all causes and all that is. He surrenders to me. Such a great soul is very rare. The three others are those in distress, in need of money, and inquisitive. One who is distressed is looking for the relief of his distress. One who is in need of money is looking for wealth. Those who are inquisitive want to have their inquisitive nature satisfied. They want something by establishing their connection with the Supreme. And when that need is fulfilled, the relationship stops. Of course, if one actually establishes connection with God, in devotional service to God, such devotional service to the Supreme will cleanse the heart of all the impurities, so that ultimately one will give up his selfish desire and will obtain through his natural desire of rendering service to God. But he must actually come in contact with God. Not that he simply worships the Lord and performs some pious activity. In other words, he must know the goal of the Vedas. He must know that the goal of the Vedas is actually to come in contact with the Supreme Lord. And anyone who makes this contact, even with impure motives, he can gradually become purified. Just like our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada would give the example, that if you put iron in the association of fire, it's iron, but it develops the qualities of fire by association. And if you keep it in fire longer, it becomes just like fire, although it is iron. In the same way, Krishna is completely pure. God has no impure motives. He is completely pure. The Sanskrit word is called pavitram. He can never become contaminated. Because God is always in control of material nature. And therefore material nature can never control him. Just as the sun creates the clouds. Someone should help this woman. Just as the sun creates the clouds, but the sun does not become covered by the clouds. Our vision of the sun becomes covered by the clouds. And actually, if we go up just a little distance in an airplane, we'll see that there is no clouds covering the sun. The clouds are simply covering our vision. So in the same way, Krishna does not become covered by material qualities. It is the material qualities that are covering us. And that's the difference between Krishna and ourselves. Krishna is God. He never could become covered by material qualities. But we are not God. We are limited. And we are subject to become covered by these material qualities. So Krishna is always completely pure. And if we come in contact with Krishna, just as the iron comes in contact with the fire, develops all the qualities of fire. In the same way, if we come in contact with Krishna, our hearts become pure. It cleanses the heart. Actually, this is the point that is being made here in this verse. All the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. And the purpose behind him is to develop one's love for God. In the age of Kali, the method for developing one's love for God is by associating with the holy names of the Lord. All the purposes of the Vedas can be fulfilled by chanting of the holy names of God. Kalaya dosha nidhe rajan astihe ko mahadgana kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangam param vajet. The age of Kali is considered to be an ocean of all bad qualities. But it has one good quality. Simply by chanting the holy names of God, one can achieve perfection and go back home, back to Godhead. Although this age of Kali is a very degraded age, it is the age of quarrel, hypocrisy, and irreligion. And it is described in this iron age of Kali, men, they have very short lives. They are quarrelsome. They are lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, they are always disturbed. That is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. A slight provocation will create tension and fighting. Because the minds are so disturbed. Because people are not satisfied. Because God consciousness is not very prominent. Because people are missing the root. And they're trying to satisfy their needs without going to the root of existence. And therefore it creates a whole atmosphere surcharged with dissatisfaction. We see so many sparks are everywhere in this planet. The tension is there. And these sparks are bursting into flames of conflict. This is the symptom of Kali Yuga. So in the age of Kali Yuga, it is described as an ocean of all bad faults. But although it has such bad symptoms, there is one good quality in this age. That simply by chanting the holy names of God, this is considered to be the highest method of worshipping the Lord. And it is a very simple process. It does not require much endeavor. It doesn't require many necessities to offer and sacrifice. One should simply utilize his tongue for glorifying the Lord. For the name of the Lord is considered to be very sacred. And in this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in His name. Kali, Kali Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. Nama Haite Haisava Jagat Nistira. In the age of Kali, the Supreme Lord appears in His holy name. Anyone who associates with the holy name of the Lord, it's as good as associating with the Lord directly. And certainly he is delivered. Because the Lord is very kind. Develops all the qualities of fire by association. In the same way we must associate with Krishna. By constant chanting of his holy name. Anyone who associates with the Lord's name is described as he certainly delivered. There are many verses in the scriptures which provide this evidence of how the chanting of the holy names of God is the recommended process for developing love for God in this age. Just like in this purport that we read this evening, the example was used of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He was asked by Prakashananda Saraswati, who was a very learned scholar in Vedanta. Prakashananda Saraswati was of the Mayavadi school of philosophy. And they put forward the philosophical doctrine that one can achieve perfection simply by studying the Vedas. However, it is not simply through studying the Vedas that one can actually attain love of God. And there are so many verses in the scripture that would explain this point. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Atapite deva padam buja dvaya prasadale sanagrihita evihi, that one can only understand God if he receives simply a slight drop of mercy from the Lord. If he tries to approach the Lord simply by mental speculation, he may study the Vedas for many, many, many years, but still he will not be able to understand the greatness of God. There are many other verses which give this evidence that it is not simply by study of the Vedas that one can develop love for God. One develops love for God only if the Lord reveals Himself to the devotee. When the Supreme Lord is inclined to reveal Himself to those who engage in His service, not simply those who study the Vedanta. And it is also recommended in the Vedic literatures that in the age of Kali, the Supreme Lord is worshipped by this process of Sankirtan. This is the highest method of satisfying the Lord. And persons who are actually intelligent will worship the Lord through this sacrificial process of chanting the holy names of God. So by chanting these names, one is actually engaged in a direct process of satisfying the Lord and serving the Lord. In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states that for one who glorifies me and tells others about me, for him devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he will come back to me. Nachatasman manushishu kaschan me priya kritama. There is no servant in this world who is more dear to me than he. Nor there will ever be one more dear. The Lord's confidential devotees, they did descend to this world to serve the Lord in this way. Lord Jesus Christ taught this principle, and He sacrificed everything to teach pure love of God, to learn to love God with all thy heart, with all thy might and all thy soul. The Lord sends His confidential devotees to fulfill that purpose and to tell others about Him and to establish the method and connection so how others can be drawn back to that loving relationship with God.
Образование связи, с помощью которой
Such devotees have no motive. They are not interested in some personal gain. They are not interested in attracting some followers. Because wealth, fame, followers, these things are completely insignificant. For those who are satisfied in devotional service to God, they are not interested in such temporary pleasures. They are not interested in heavenly planets, elevation. They are not interested in wealth. Because they have the most valuable thing. The most valuable thing that one can possibly have is Krishna. And Krishna gives himself to his devotee. That is the intimacy that exists between the Lord and his devotee. Because a devotee doesn't want anything else. And therefore God becomes purchased by that love. Just like Prabhupada tells the story of the beggar who came before Sanatana Goswami. Because he heard Sanatana Goswami was keeping a touchstone. And this touchstone was very valuable. It could turn iron into gold. So the beggar approached Sanatana Goswami. And he asked him, "I've heard that you have this touchstone in your possession." And Sanatana Goswami said, "It's over there in the rubbish." "You want it? Go ahead, it's yours, take it." So the beggar was thinking, "This is very easy." And he went and he took the touchstone. But as he was walking away with it, he's thinking, why was he keeping it in the rubbish? Something of this value shouldn't be kept in the rubbish. I think he has something of greater value. And that's why it was left in the rubbish. So the beggar went back to Sanatana Goswami and said, "I think you have something of greater value. I want that." So Sanatana Goswami said, "All right, you can have it. But first thing you must do is you must go to the river and throw this touchstone into the river." "Then come back and I'll give it to you." So the beggar was thinking, "I want the most valuable thing." So since it was so easy to obtain the touchstone, he thought it would also be very easy to obtain something more valuable. So he went and threw the touchstone into the river. And when he returned to Sanatana Goswami, he initiated him into the holy name of the Lord. And he gave him the Hare Krishna mantra. And he said, "This is the most valuable thing." So, this is the position of a devotee. A devotee is called a Kinchana Gochara. That means he doesn't possess anything material. Because he's not interested in possessing anything material. Because he possesses Krishna. Because Krishna gives himself to the devotee. This is the intimacy of devotion to God. God is not attracted by our strength or by our wealth, our intelligence, or our renunciation. None of these things can actually awaken his pleasure or satisfaction. Because Krishna is the most intelligent, the most wealthy. He's the most renounced. He's the most powerful. So none of these things can attract his attention. He doesn't feel obliged to anybody. He doesn't feel threatened by anyone. Either you give me attention or I'm going to do something to you that you'll regret. Someone can say that to God. What kind of threat is that? What are you going to give him? What are you going to threaten that you won't give him something? It's already his. Everything belongs to him. What can you possibly threaten him with? You threaten with your strength? Or with your intellectual prowess? None of these things can attract Krishna's attention. But Krishna's attracted by love. When he sees that a devotee actually offers something to him with love, it's not what he is offering, but it's the love by which he is offering it. And that's what captures his attention. And then when one captures Krishna's attention, then Krishna gives himself to the devotee. So much so that any way the devotee wants to serve Krishna, Krishna reciprocates with that devotee. And this is Krishna. However one wants to serve. The greatest independence is experienced by our full dependence on God. So, therefore, when a devotee has the most valuable possession, and therefore he's not interested in anything else. So the devotees of the Lord who are spreading the mission of the Lord, they are satisfied in devotion to God. Because their service is rendered without any material motivation and without any interruption. And being satisfied, they can satisfy others. Because they have Krishna in their possession, they can say, "Here is Krishna. Take him." That is a Vaishnava. Just like Srila Narottam Das Thakur, he prays in his song, "Krishna is yours." And I am running behind you, calling, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." You have Krishna in your hand. And you have the power to give him. Therefore, I am simply following you, saying, "Please, give me Krishna." So a Vaishnava is very kind. Because he knows how to serve society. He is not attracted to serving them on the basis of a false temporary platform. When he can give the most valuable gift, the most valuable gift is Krishna consciousness. There is no more valuable gift. There is no more valuable service to render to family, to friends, and society. We can serve everyone simultaneously. But we first must recognize Krishna. We first must understand our relationship with Krishna. That we are eternal servants of Krishna. This is the goal of the Vedas. And anyone who knows the goal of the Vedas, then all other purposes can be fulfilled simultaneously. The goal of the Vedas is to develop our love for God. And any religious performance is meant to bring us to that goal. In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, Vedeshu jagyeshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pratishtam et yeti tat saram idam viritva yogi parabstanam upaiti chaja. That a person who engages in devotional service to the Lord, he is not bereft of the results derived.
By
studying all of the Vedas. Vedeshu. Yageshu. By performing severe austerities and sacrifices. By pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Or by giving in charity. He gets the results of all of these. And at the end, he comes back to me. So what Krishna is saying, you can perform philosophical and intuitive activities. And you'll get the results of those activities. You can study the Vedas. And you can get knowledge. You can give charity. And you can get some pious benefits from the result of your charity. But anyone who engages in devotional service, he gets the results of all of these. And then, not only that, he comes back to me. So this is the ultimate goal of all the Vedas. Is to come to devotion to God. And anyone who knows this can have all the purposes served by studying the Vedas. And the way to develop one's love for God is simply by chanting these names of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Some questions. All right.
His question is, if the pure devotee didn't finish his path to God in this very life, and he's taking the next birth, does he feel the love to God from the very moment of his birth, or he starts to feel the love to God only when he's meeting the devotees of the Lord?
The pure devotee?
Yeah.
Your question is a contradiction.
В вашем вопросе есть противоречие.
Pure devotee.
Чистый преданный.
Has completed the course.
Он завершает этот путь.
So, I don't understand what you're saying.
И поэтому непонятно, что вы имеете в виду. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us this verse and
which verse?
In Shishashtak. Without putting the mind in humble condition. So how? By which means we can put the mind in humble condition?
To be able to constantly chant the names. He finishes it in the verse by thinking oneself to be lower than the straw in the stream. By being devoid of all sense of false prestige. And by offering all respects to others. Just right in the same verse. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami quotes this verse. He says, just like a tree is very tolerant. Somebody comes and breaks the branches of the tree. The tree won't complain. And the tree is drying up. It never asks anybody for water. So one has to become that tolerant. That even if someone comes and breaks your branches, you don't complain. And if you don't have what you want, you don't complain. This is tolerance. As far as humility goes, the way to develop the humility is a natural characteristic of the soul. It's already there. We have to bring it out. It's like we bring out love of God. It's naturally within every living being. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajjukabho Noi. Pure love for God is situated within the heart of every living entity. It doesn't come from any other source. So it must be brought out by association. Because presently that love is covered.
So,
all the good qualities are also there. Humility, pridelessness, tolerance, simplicity. And there are all the natural qualities of the soul. But they have to be brought out by association. So if we associate with those who are humble, we can develop their qualities. And we associate with those who are humble by serving them. That is the best way to associate. Because then we develop their qualities. It is the catalyst. It brings out the natural qualities that are already there.
There are a few. Кришна везде повсюду.
We have to have the eyes to see.
Но нам необходимо иметь должные глаза, чтобы видеть его.
Prabhupada quotes oftentimes the verse from Brahma Samhita. Brahmanjana charita bhakti valochane. That when one's eyes are anointed with love of God, the sava of love of God.
Который говорится, что когда глаза человека помазаны бальзамом любви к Богу.
Then everywhere he looks, he sees Krishna.
Тогда куда бы он ни посмотрел, он повсюду видит Кришну.
Just like your mother.
Подобно вашей матери.
She probably loves you very much.
Она любит наверняка вас очень сильно.
And whenever she sees your toys,
и когда бы она не видела твои игрушки,
she sees you.
Она видит в них тебя.
But if she hears your voice,
и она слышит твой голос,
she sees you.
Она тоже видит тебя.
Or she sees your shoe,
или она видит твой башмак,
she sees you.
Она видит тебя.
Because everything connected to you,
поскольку все это связано с тобой,
makes her see you.
И заставляет ее видеть повсюду тебя.
So in the same way for a devotee who loves God,
и потом же образом преданный, который любит Бога,
he doesn't see anything separate from Krishna.
Не видит ничего отделенного от Кришны.
He can see Krishna everywhere.
Он может видеть Кришну повсюду.
I don't have that love.
Но у меня нет этого любви.
I'm simply serving Śrīla Prabhupāda.
Я просто служу Śrīla Prabhupāda.
And I'm simply running after him.
Я просто бегу за ним.
Begging him to give it to me.
Прося дать его Кришне мне.
So, can you please explain if Mataji isn't so experienced in philosophy, but sincerely following the instructions of the spiritual master, does he has the 100% chance to go back home to Godhead? And is it necessary for her to be married or not?
It's two parts of the question.
Ваше святейшество, объясните, пожалуйста, если Матаджи не очень хорошо разбирается в философии, но искренне следует наставлениям духовного учителя, есть ли у нее 100% шанс возвратиться домой, обратно к Богу? И обязательно ли Матаджи должна находиться под контролем, имеется в виду замужество?
Well, I'll answer the first part by telling a story.
В ответ на первую часть вопроса, Шри-Матаджи с вами расскажет историю.
Prabhupada tells a story.
Prabhupada расскажет историю.
May have heard it before. About the Brahmin who didn't know how to read. Once the Brahmin was instructed by his spiritual master that every day you must read Bhagavad Gita. So he didn't know how to read. But he used to every day sit We hold the Bhagavad Gita. And people used to walk by him. And they'd make fun of him. They'd laugh. Because he'd be sitting there looking at the Bhagavad Gita. But he didn't know how to read. So one day, Lord Chaitanya, he came by, he walked past this Brahmin. And he saw all these people walking. He saw these people looking at him, making fun of him. So he approached the Brahmin. He asked the Brahmin what he was doing. And the Brahmin said, "My spiritual master instructed me to read from Bhagavad Gita every day." And I have firm faith in the order of my spiritual master. So every day I'm sitting here and I'm reading this Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya looked down at him and I said, "But my dear Brahman, I see that there are tears in your eyes." "Why are you crying?" He said, "Because I'm sitting and I'm reading this Bhagavad Gita." "What are you doing?" But when I'm reading, I'm looking at this picture. And I'm seeing Krishna and Arjuna on the same chariot. And when I see how wonderful Krishna is, that Krishna has become the servant of Arjuna. He is driving his chariot, obedient to his every command. This makes me cry. And Lord Chaitanya looked at the Brahmin. And he lifted him up from the ground and embraced him. And said, "Your Bhagavad Gita reading is perfect." Because you love Krishna. So that's the story. That answers the first, hopefully that answers the first half of your question. As far as the second half of your question, I don't have a story. I can just simply say, no, it's not necessary that one has to become married. But generally most women need to be married. But there can always be exceptions.
Да.
How to surrender guru and how to learn to follow his instructions perfectly.
One of those how-to questions.
So,
some we get these questions. How to be serious? How to surrender? How to be sober? How to be enthusiastic? But actually, it's not very difficult. Just be serious, sober, enthusiastic. How do I be serious? Be serious. The way that we surrender to the spiritual master. I'll elaborate a little bit more. Is we have to be very, very keen. You know the word keen? Very, very determined. To hear from the spiritual master. And it is stated in the Shastra that this ability to hear by serving those devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one develops an affection for hearing, affinity for hearing. So, the more we hear, the more we develop a desire to serve. And the more that we serve, the more that we develop the desire to hear. They complement each other very nicely. Therefore, it is stated in the Bhagavatam that Nasta Prayeshu Abhudeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya Bhagavat Uttama Shlokya Bhakya Bhavati Nashtaki. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and by serving the devotee, all those troubles into the heart is destroyed. And loving devotional service becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Sutta Goswami gives both. Service must be to the book Bhagavata, book Bhagavatam, and the personality Bhagavata. They both must. We must have contact, association with both. So, if we hear very nicely, it increases our enthusiasm to serve. And if we serve nicely, it increases our enthusiasm to
hear.
It all begins with hearing. It's the very first step. Adal Shraddha Tato Sadhu Sangha. It's explained by Rupa Goswami that first there is a Shraddha. One must hear with a little faith. And the result of that Shraddha is Sadhu Sangha. He associates with
Sadhu Sangha.
When he hears with a bit of faith, then he wants to go back to hear some more. That's the nature of hearing from devotees. So go and hear more. Sadhu Sangha. And then the next step is Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means now I have to do something. That's the result of my hearing. Prabhupada explains that hearing means acting. If we don't act upon what we hear, when we're hearing the absolute truth, it's not actually hearing. It's listening.
There's
a little vibration going on in the ear. But nothing's happened. Because we didn't hear. Hearing means we act. So when we hear nicely from the devotee, then the next step is bhajana
kriya.
We serve. And then the more we serve,
the
more enthusiasm to hear. So that's how you'll get enthusiasm to serve the order of your spiritual master. Just keep on hearing. Alright. I think we can end here. We can stop. We can have a little kirtan.
Last question.
Хорошо.
Что есть великий город? Скажите, пожалуйста, что есть мое ментальное тело? Это внимание, как я пришел к выводу, далекий от истины или близок к ней?
Вы определяете свое ментальное тело как внимание, да?
Да.
Great Guru, can you please say me what my mental body is? I think it's attention. Can you please say, am I right or not?
It's attention?
Yes.
His mental body is attention?
Yes. How far is he from the truth?
Mental body is attention. I don't understand.
I don't understand either.
Maybe you can elaborate.
Может вы поясните вопрос?
You've confused me.
Вы смутились.
Ну, в течение 20 лет я занимался на пути Кришны, все, в одиночку. И, естественно, я свои тела познавал.
Alone. And he tried to realize his body, astral body, mental body. He found out the truth, what he was looking for. And he is understanding it as a attention.
But then, if he found out the truth, why is he asking me?
Если мы уже нашли истину, зачем мы спрашиваем?
Я хочу знать, прав или не прав. Я же одиночный.
He wants to know is he right or not, because he was alone.
Then it might not be the truth.
Но это может оказаться неправда.
Это у каждого свое ощущение.
Does it mean that everybody feels different?
No.
Нет.
We have to go beyond the subtle body. You actually want to know who you are. That's the most significant question. Not what your mental constitution
is.
That's not you. If you are asking me, who are you? I can answer that question.
He knows that he isn't his mind, but he wants to use his abilities to cure the people like this. Somehow use his abilities.
Use his mind.
Yes. But he wants to be sure.
He wants to be sure of what?
Oh, that he is right.
That what his mind is?
Yeah.
Attention?
Yes.
How do you plan on using this attention?
It's difficult for people to understand and realize the God directly. So we should make it easier for them by giving them some steps in the middle. Like he is suggesting to do.
Did you not understand my lecture tonight?
He was. He knew about all these things many tens of years ago.
Then why do you want to do what you just suggested?
Тогда почему же вы хотите делать то, чем вы собираетесь заниматься?
Why don't you just give him Krishna?
Почему вы не будете давать людям просто Кришну?
Ну, чтобы себя в чистом виде найти, великое дело. Я должен знать свои дела или не должен?
He wants to know his body to understand, realize what he is himself in pure condition.
What?
He wants to know what he is himself in pure condition.
In pure condition?
In pure condition. What separate he is? From his body. Oh,
but you're a servant of Krishna.
No, you understand, you're Krishna.
That's your pure condition.
What we, like what we, so in your Krishna state.
So you can use your mind and body and words to serve Krishna.
Поэтому вы можете использовать свой ум, слова и
mind, body, and words. That is the duty of every living entity. But the way you use your mind to serve Krishna is by always thinking about Krishna's service. That's all. Then the mind will always be absorbed in Krishna. So you just want to know what your service is.
И если вы хотите, в чем хотите узнать, в чем заключается ваше служение?
Isn't that right?
Правильно ли я понимаю вашу проблему?
You're not sure what your service is.
Вы хотите узнать, как вам служить?
Я хочу еще понять, как я могу людям служить.
Yes.
How to serve to the people?
Yes. Tell them about Krishna.
Говорите им о Кришне.
Это многим труда не открывает, не пробуждает их.
Sometimes it doesn't help.
Sometimes it doesn't help? But it helps you.